You're listening to day two of Developing a Core Team Week on the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
That was a little off.
Well, my name is Daniel Lim.
I'm Todd Atkins.
And you know what's funny? Because we're sitting here in
clowns.
A studio.
I don't like clowns. They're not funny. Go ahead.
Clowns?
Sorry. Yes. Yeah, you said, do you know what's funny? And the first thing that popped in my head was clowns, which is weird because they kind of freak me out.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
But.
But when you were, whenever I do the intro here,
right,
whenever I do the intro, I see you taking a big breath.
Yeah, because I'm getting ready.
But I'm thinking, what if I extend what I say at the beginning? Will you just burst out?
Probably. Or I'll, I can hold my breath for a long time.
All right. Well, day three, tomorrow, be sure to listen in because we will try that.
Bring it.
Bring it. So this week, we are actually doing a deep dive into developing a core team, our course, our newest course on newchurches.com. And the reason behind this course, just to give you some inside baseball here, is because we have essential church planting. We have essential campus pastoring. Both courses have something about your launch team, about getting started. But the thing that both of them, as we were engaging our Plus members and our community here, engaging our listeners, engaging you guys, we kept on hearing, hey, but what about the stuff? Give us some more on core teams. Give us some more on core groups, launch teams. How do we actually train them? So that's where this course comes into play. This course by Ronnie Parrott will actually help you build the ministry muscles required to launch well. And to give you some idea around the origin of this, Ronnie wrote his dissertation on the topic of core team development. And Eric Geiger here, who's the vice president of resources at Lifeway, was on his supervising committee. So we kept on hearing all this amazing stuff about the scope and sequence that he had developed and the nuts and bolts that he had really crafted and developed with this course. So that's just some inside baseball there to know the origins of the course and the reason, the heart behind it, because we really want to help you as a church planner, as a campus pastor, as a pastor, develop the ministry muscles required to launch well, right? We want to help you launch well, but we also want to help you finish well so that you have years of fruitful ministry. The heart behind the course is really not just about placing doers, but learning how to develop equippers for ministry. And if you don't have a core team that sees themselves as equippers, it's going to be increasingly hard for you to plant a church or a campus. So
yeah. So, and without further ado, Ronnie Parrott.
Okay. Just one more thing.
What?
Just one more thing. Be sure to listen to the end because we're going to give you a coupon code that expires tonight at midnight for a Bluetooth speaker and 10% off the course.
All right.
Sixth, as I stated earlier, you want to filter. You want to filter. You don't want to accept everyone who applies. There will be many who sign up because they have a desire to do something challenging, as I stated. That's good motives, but what you really want, as I said, is people who love the community and love people. So you want to have conversations. You want to ask yourself, does this person live in the community? Are they involved in the community? Do they have a desire to go? You want them to feel like there's an application in front of them, that there is someone going to tell them yes or no. You want them to feel the weight of that conversation a little bit. You want them to have to articulate for you their true heart, and their true motive for going. The other benefit of the filtering is the reality that some people are going to be told no, which makes the weight on those who you told yes a little higher, that they made the cut in a sense. That's a good thing for someone to feel. It's a little challenging to tell some folks, hey, I really appreciate your heart, but I just don't think this is going to be a fit for you. You're really invested here already at this church. I think it's best for you to stay here and not go with us. What that does is that encourages them to stay where they're at and stay invested. But it also makes those who you said yes to feel a little more, wow, I made it. I'm here. I'm a little more invested in this work now because they made the cut. So filter. Don't be afraid of filtering. I would encourage you to be wise in your filtering and to not be tempted to take everyone that applies and not to take even those who would be maybe financially beneficial for your campus or would be strong leaders for your campus. Fight that temptation and ask yourself, does this person, does it make sense for them to go with us or not? So be wise, be discerning, and listen for the Lord's clarity on that. Number seven, recruit others in the community who live in the community the new campus will meet in, but did not apply. So you'll have others who live in the community, but maybe missed the application process, or they were just nervous or scared, but you think, man, this person's influence in the community, they live there, they have these things going on. Don't miss out on those people who may have missed the application process. Do a search in your church's database or in your files and identify everyone who lives in the community and ask yourselves, is there anyone who didn't apply that would make sense to go? There's a whole list of people who will be in that category who could be very involved, some of your strongest, most influential people. And too many of us, we just don't think about that. We just trust the application process to get us through, which is good, but it's good to identify others who live in the community who can also serve and help on the core team. So identify others. Eight, I want to encourage you to prep them for training. As you have conversations with those who will be on the core team, make sure you prep them for the training that is ahead. You want to be clear as you're interviewing them, as you're talking with them, you want to be clear of the expectations of what core team training will look like. Meaning, you want them to understand that you are going to enter into a strategic training time over a period of months, of weeks, with the core team. And that you want them to know that it's going to be mandatory training, that if they're going to go with you, then they need to be involved. You need them invested. You need them engaged in the training. You want to be very clear about that, because some people will not be able to commit to that. And you'll be tempted to say, well, it's okay. You can miss a few weeks. You don't have to worry about it. Come on over. It's going to work against what you're trying to do if you allow that. You really want folks who are going to be able to be engaged with you, because in the training, they're going to see you as their leader. They're going to see you as their primary source of spiritual leadership. And you're going to be able to really focus on who you want them to be as missionaries in the community, as Christians in the community, as lights for the gospel in the community. It's very important that they're engaged in hearing you and the other campus leadership or church plant leadership speaking in front of them. You want to be intentional. You want them to know that the training is going to be intentional. You want them to know it'll be somewhat difficult, that there's going to be work required. There's going to be opportunities of them prayer walking and serving their community throughout training. This is a robust training mechanism that's going to have a lot of components to it. And so you want them to understand what's before them as they agree to this. You want them to know it will require much prayer, much devotion, and much fasting as you plan and pray towards what the Lord might do from your launch day and beyond. You want them to feel a sense of weight of what they've entered into or what they've signed up for. You want to do everything you can to swat them out of it, in a sense, so that they would say, I'm not really ready to do that. You want folks who are going to be there because they are challenged to do so, and God is calling them to do it. So anything you can do to help swat that is good. So prep them for the training that is ahead of them. Make sure you're clear and make sure it's understandable. Number nine, pray. As you build a core team, focus on prayer. Listen to the Lord. If the Lord has called you to plant this church or move to lead this campus, then you can be sure that he's going to give you the discernment and leadership and clarity you need as you march forward. So pray for it. Ask the Lord to pray for your core team. Pray for your leadership. Pray for your team. Pray for all these things. Pray for wisdom. Pray for clarity. Pray for your team meetings. Pray for your core team by name. Pray, 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 because you're going to need a lot of prayer. And then finally, number 10, as the leader, as the campus pastor or the church planner, model life on mission. Model it. Don't be the pastor who sits in his office, who leads the team, who is not engaged with the lost. You need to model what it means to have to live life on mission. You are a Christian first, right? You are called to be a Christ to your community, whether that be at the grocery store, at the gym, in your neighborhood, wherever it is, be talking about the conversations you're having with the lost in your community before the launch team, the core team. Be talking about the lost. Be talking about the guy who cut your hair, the girl who's at the grocery store. Be talking about those. Talk about your burden. Model it for your core team. In doing so, you will lead them to live on mission because they'll watch you and they will replicate that. And so be intentional. Teach them, train them, and show them.
I love how he talked about recruiting leaders from the community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've talked about before, hey, when people apply or say they want to go with you, that's great. You want to look at those people, look at where they live, you know, create a Google map, doc, whatever, with pins and where people go. Inevitably, there's going to be a few holes that you have. Mm-hmm. And that's when this, I think, really kicks into play where you say, okay, I'm going to be proactive and recruit some people I know that live in that community to be a part of it. So, and here's something that you'll hear say often too, is you can't commute to community.
Yeah.
But I will say this, I got to the point toward the end where in looking at campuses anyway, I thought about almost having an opening team. Mm. Are you familiar with the opening team concept?
Totally. So, but why don't you tease it out a little bit more?
Yeah. So a lot of restaurants will have an opening team. So there was a Cheddar's that came near my house recently, and you could tell when it opened, they had an opening team. So I asked the guy that, you know, we were there maybe the second or third day it was open. And he was really good. And I was like, so are you part of the opening team? And he looked at me sideways and said, yeah, how do you know about opening team? So, of course, I'm a nerd and we had a long conversation about that. But basically, it is the team that goes in and establishes the culture. It establishes how this place runs and works so that all the local help understand, oh, this is how this works. This is the culture here. This is how we treat our customers. This is what we say. So in like manner, when you're launching a campus or you're launching a church, if you have the type of leader that you want other people to emulate, or if they're transferring DNA from an existing church, whether it's a church plant, you know, and that's the sending church, or it's a campus, it's always great to have, you know, some of those ringers, if you will, engaged in the launch, because they can really set the tone for the future.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And the beauty of training your core team, right? And not just in the sense of, hey, here's what you're going to be doing. Let's do some preview services. Let's pray. All that's important. But the beauty of actually training your core team to live on mission.
Oh, this is, you can't underrate this, because because you have an opportunity. They don't know any better.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't know any better. They don't know what it's supposed to be. So it's like, hey, we can welcome you to a new normal. You don't know that at another church or at another place, this is not normal.
Yeah.
We can establish what normal is in our DNA culture.
So a member is not someone who greets. A member is not someone who just does ministry. A member is someone who is equipping, right? Where you have volunteers recruiting volunteers.
Let's just close in
prayer.
You got
leaders recruiting leaders.
Oh, come on.
Right? Coaches recruiting coaches. And right? So that's the culture that you can develop. And that's why developing a core team, and especially bringing them through this 12-week curriculum that Ronnie has designed, is so critical to getting them there. So you can get that 12-week curriculum as a part of the course. And if you purchase tonight before midnight central, you'll actually get 10% off the course and a new church's Bluetooth speaker, which is, it's about $50-ish, if not more. So that's the value of that we want to give to you, that we want to bless you. And the coupon code that you want to use to get those two things is B, as in Bluetooth, B, the number 10, core. All right, B10 core. B10 core. So be sure to do that before midnight central tonight, June 6, 2017. And tomorrow we will be back with day 3 of developing a core team week.